Thank you so much for being out to maybe just put up your sail and let the wind take you, but you got here, and it's good to see you. I want to take just a moment before we get into the sermon to thank you. We had an opportunity this last week to be in Missouri. We hadn't been back for about 10 months, and so we were able to go back and catch up, see a lot of family. Julie's parents have moved since we were there, and my parents are putting an addition on their house and doing some remodeling, and we were able to see both sides, all of our siblings. We got to see all of our nieces and nephews and do some preaching and teaching on the side. And so it was a wonderful trip. And I wanted to say to you, our parents wanted us to send their greetings to you and thank you for all that you do to take such good care of us here. And you know, as parents, I suppose, I don't know this, but I suppose it's true what they say, that you never stop being a parent. That no matter how old your kids get, they're still your kids, and you still want them to be taken care of, and they know that you're doing a good job taking care of us and their grandkids, more importantly, perhaps. And so, again, I wanted to just say thank you on their behalf to you. But we are glad to be home. I'm glad to be back. It was a wonderful trip, but we are glad to be back in Midland, dust and all. Now, you see in Joshua chapter 20 some of what we'll be discussing tonight. I think it's good for us to spend time in the Old Testament, although I'm not taking away anything from what Brother Mike said, because he said it so plainly for us to see this morning. The Old Testament is not for our law, but it is for our learning. I've not heard it said exactly like that, but that's exactly the way it is. It is not our law, but it is for our learning. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. And there's so much we can learn by going back and looking at what the Bible has to say in certain areas about certain things that then we can take over into the New Testament and draw a picture that we can plainly see. Tonight I'd like to do that with the cities of refuge. Now, Shad, if you wouldn't mind to hit the arrow button over, and there'll be a map that we're going to pull up, and I don't need you to hit any other buttons. We'll just leave this up. But I want you to see tonight the cities of refuge. Now, if you're still open there to Joshua chapter 20, I'd like you just to drop back with me to verse number 1. Here's what the Bible has to say about these particular cities. The Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he flees to one of those cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of the city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand, because he has struck his neighbor unintentionally but did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell in the city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the one who is high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled." So they appointed Kadesh in Galilee. And this is what you see on this map. Kadesh in Galilee in the mountains of Naphtali, Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah. And on the other side of the Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness on the plain from the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. And then we see verse number 9 read for us a moment ago by Brother Jim. Now, I want you to notice as we begin tonight where exactly these cities are located. Now, I hope you can understand where they are. The stars show us whether you can see the names of them or not. But I want you to notice that there are two little bodies of water also recognizable on this particular map. You see the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, down here in the bottom, and you see the Sea of Galilee up at the top, and you know from geography that flowing between those two bodies is the Jordan River. So before they cross over the Jordan River, that is the children of Israel, into the land of Canaan, which is the land of promise, there are going to be three cities designated on the east side of the Jordan River. And then after the land of Canaan is conquered, there will be three more cities on the west side of the Jordan River, also designated as the cities of refuge. Now, this particular map also has designated for us the tribes and the way that the land was divided among them. You'll remember, again, from the Old Testament, that as these lands were divided on the east side of the Jordan River, where 2.5 tribes would settle, and the remaining tribes settling on the other side of the Jordan River, that the Levites were not given a big portion of land, right? The Levites were given 48 cities to be theirs. And 6 of those 48 cities were going to be designated cities of refuge. Now tonight, what I'd like to do is to think about these cities of refuge, these 6 cities. And they tell us so much about God. And as we think about these cities of refuge, and we think about going over into the New Testament, really what these cities paint for us is a beautiful picture of God and a beautiful picture of the Lord's church. And this is what I want us to see tonight, just 4 simple truths that we learn from these particular cities of refuge. The first one I want you to think about and know is that from these cities of refuge, the first thing that they teach us is God is merciful. God is merciful. I want you to think about the mercy of God as we see in these particular cities. God could have said, well, you kill somebody, that's it. The avenger of blood, that is the next in kin, is going to kill you, and that's just the way it's going to be. Now, the old law, the law of Moses, was very much an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If you kill somebody, then your blood was required. Your blood could be taken. The avenger of blood, the next of kin, could step up and take a life if life was taken. But God says, I understand that not all life is taken intentionally. That when someone is killed, not always is it murder. Not always is it premeditated. Not always is someone killed directly because of hate. Why? Well, accidents happen, don't they? And God knows this. Accidents happen. And so if an accident happens and somebody is accidentally killed, I want to give the one who accidentally kills another a way out. I want to give them a route of escape. And if they can get to one of these 6 cities before the avenger of blood gets to them, then they're safe. They can be there. And I'm just suggesting to us, reminding us tonight, that this is but an extension of God's mercy. God says, if somebody doesn't mean to do it, I want to provide a way for them to escape, a way for them to be all right. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God who is merciful, who gets it? I saw my parents the last few days. I saw my brother, and I saw my sister. And we were thinking about growing up and some of the things that we did as we were growing up. And I can remember that really all that I wanted for my parents to be with me was fair. Fair. I want you to be fair. And when you're not treated fairly, it hurts. It doesn't feel good. If you haven't done something to deserve the punishment, then you don't feel good about that. It's not fair. Our kids are saying that to us all the time. It's not fair. You're not being fair. And we want to be treated fairly. Well, here's an instance where God doesn't treat us fairly. And that is, He doesn't give us what we deserve. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says that all, or Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, what do I deserve? I deserve death. That's the wages of sin, is death. But we serve a God who is merciful. A God who says, I'm not going to give you exactly what you deserve. I'm going to actually allow you a way of escape. I'm going to give you a place to be, and I'm going to cover you with the blood of my Son. And salvation is found in the church. It's found by being in the Lord. God says, if you'll be found in my Son, covered in His blood, I will allow you to live. I'll allow you to live. I'll provide you with salvation. I'll provide you a way of escape. I'll provide you with a home with me. And so I think about this in connection to the words of Paul over in Ephesians chapter 2. Turn with me over there to Ephesians 2. We'll come back to the Old Testament momentarily. But over in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is writing to Christians. And he reminds them of where they once found themselves. And he's reminding ultimately of God's mercy. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul writes, he says, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." You want a picture of the mercy of God? There it is. You were without hope. You were without Christ. You were without strength. You were lost as you can be. And God looked down and said, "I'm going to extend mercy. I know that you have sinned, but I'm going to extend a place. I'm going to offer you a place where you can be safe. A place where you will not have to die. You can be in Christ. You can be in the church." How thankful we need to be for God extending us mercy. For Him saying, "I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I will extend my mercy. I'm going to provide a place for you to be safe." And so in these cities of refuge, that's exactly what we find. Number two, well, as we think about these four particular cities, I want you to consider with me, or these six cities rather, I want you to consider that these cities God had strategically placed where anyone could get to them. Now, as you look at that map, you realize that you've got the Jordan River that divides these three cities from the other three, but notice that they're all fairly even with one another. And that means that if you accidentally took the life of someone else, within one day, you can get to one of these cities. Within a day, if you get after it, you can get to one of these cities and you can be safe. And so they are strategically placed within reach to everyone. We'll come back to Ephesians 2 in just a moment, but run with me back to the Old Testament to Numbers chapter 35. And I just want you to consider, as again, here we are in the book of Numbers. They have not yet entered into the promised land. And so he is looking into the future. God is looking into the future, and he's giving Moses some instruction. And notice he says here in Numbers chapter 35 and verse number 15, "These six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there." All right, so you kill somebody accidentally, and you've got a choice. You can run. But it didn't matter what tribe you were from. It didn't matter if you were a Jew or if you were a stranger in the land. If you can get to one of these six cities, you are safe. All right? The Avenger of Blood cannot kill you innocently within the walls of these particular cities. So it didn't matter if you were not of that tribe. You could be found in that city, and you could be found safe. Now, I run back to Ephesians chapter 2. And again, here Paul is going to continue right after we left off in verse number 14, still in the very same context, still dealing with Gentiles coming into the church and being found right with God, and talking about the Jews now also being in the church. Verse number 14 of Ephesians 2 says, "For he himself is our peace," speaking of Christ, "who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. The cities are within reach. The church is within reach to whoever will come. Peace is found within the church. Peace with God is found because Christ came and he tore down the wall of separation. And now there is peace between the Jew and the Gentile. There is peace between God and the sinner only because of Christ. But it's within reach to everybody. I love to think about Acts chapter 10. How much time do you spend in Acts chapter 10 in thinking about the home of Cornelius and the direct connection that has to you? The direct connection that has to me. Peter is a Jew, one who had come out of Judaism, was unwilling to go at first, right? I'm not going in there, Lord. That is a dirty Gentile, and I'm not going in there. That is unclean, and there's no way that I'm going to go in there. And God shows him the need for him to go into the home of this Gentile, Cornelius. And the very first words out of the mouth of Peter intrigue me. I find them very fascinating. Understanding where Peter has come from, understanding the hurdle that he's had to get over in order to get into that house, the very first words that he's going to speak are, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." None of this Jew and Gentile thing any longer. In the church, everyone is welcome. The city is within reach to everyone. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we all have the ability to be in the city of refuge. We all have the ability to be found in the church. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Salvation is accessible to all. The cities were within reach. If you could get there, you were safe. And now in the church, we find safety, and we all have access to the body of Christ. God is merciful. The city is within reach to everyone. Great truth number 3. The cities were designated with well-marked roads. Now you go back to the Old Testament. I think this is fascinating. I love this one. Well-marked roads. This is what the Bible says. Again, in Deuteronomy, now chapter 19, we're still not quite into the promised land. We're still now on the east side of the Jordan River. And here God is kind of rehashing. He's kind of retelling the old law, having Moses write it down again here in Deuteronomy. But notice what it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 19. We're talking about these cities. Now, we've already got 3 that have been designated on the east side. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 2, "You shall separate 3 cities for yourself in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You shall prepare roads for yourself and divide into 3 parts the territory of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, that any manslayer may flee there." This is way before the Roman Empire. Way before road systems are going to come in with the Roman Empire. Way before the Greeks are going to start laying some of these things for roads and the Romans to come in and kind of work on it and perfect it. Way before any of that, in a very primitive setting, as they're going to enter into the promised land, God says, "Your roads may be terrible, but into these cities, they're going to be nice. Because that one who has accidentally killed somebody is not going to have difficulty getting into these cities. You're going to make sure that these roads getting into these cities are nice. You're going to make sure that the people can get in there, that the roads are well marked, that these cities are well known, because I don't want there to be any delay in that avenger of blood to catch up. I want these roads to be nice. And you think about that. This is a merciful God, isn't it? This is a God who understands that these cities need to be able to be accessed. I need these cities for anybody who needs to get there. I want them to be able to get there. And so I want these roads to be established, and they're going to be designated. Entrance into the church is designated. It's well marked. God hasn't left us to wander about. He hasn't told us, hey, there is a safe place. There's a place where you can be found. It's the church that my son bought with his own blood. But I'm going to let you wander around and try to figure it out on your own how to get in. He didn't do that, did he? He said, I'm going to show you exactly how to access the church. I'm going to give you the road, if you will, to get in to the church. Jesus would say in John chapter 14 and verse 16, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one is going to get to the Father except through me. But he didn't leave us to guess at how to get into him. He didn't leave us to guess as to how to find our way to him and ultimately to the Father. He designated the way. He shows us the way. And so here it is. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, If you don't believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. Well, you need to believe that I am the Christ. You need to believe that I am the Son of God. You need to have that faith in me and what I have said. You need to be willing to repent of sin in your life. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. God says, if you want to get into the kingdom of my Son, into his church, where there is safety found in him, then you need to be willing to confess your faith in him as the Son of God. As Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, that whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. And it takes baptism, my friend, to access the Lord's blood and to get into his church. On this, the Bible just could not be more clear. Now, you want to try to muddy the road. You want to try to take a different route. And the Bible says, you don't want to do that. There is another road. There isn't another road. There's only one road, and that's the road that you need to find yourself. And it involves baptism. Because in baptism, you meet the blood of Christ, and your sins are forgiven. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. It doesn't get any clearer than 1 Peter 3:21. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, Peter would say. And so again, this city is designated with a well-marked road. Here is the path. Here's how you get into Christ, into the church that he purchased with his own blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Finally tonight, I would point this out. With these cities of refuge, the one who was charged or the one who had accidentally, unintentionally taken the life of another was safe so long as they remained in the city. That's what the Bible says. Now, you run, and I don't picture anyone walking to one of these six cities, do you? If they've got somebody chasing them, wanting to take their life, I don't picture anyone just taking a leisurely stroll to get into this city. This is not going to happen, right? These are people who are running to get into the city. Why? Because in the city, there is safety. And the Bible says that as long as you remain in the city, you are safe. The one who is chasing you cannot kill you innocently if you're in the city. Numbers chapter 35 makes this very clear. In Numbers chapter 35, verses 26 through 28. The Bible says, but if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of his city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to the land of his possession. So as long as that high priest is alive, you better stay within the limits of the city. So what are you going to do? Take a stroll outside of the city? Take your chances that the avenger of blood isn't out there? You're out of your mind. Why would you ever do that? Why would you take a stroll outside of the city? You are safe in that city. Don't wander out. And I question, why would someone do that? Why would anybody wander outside the city? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know why anyone would do that. It doesn't make any sense. It's just not logical, is it, to wander outside the city? If that's where safety is found, why would you go back out? Why would you take your chances? Think about this. We're talking about the church, right? The church is that city, the city of refuge, the place where there is salvation, the place where there is security, the place that has been designated as those who are saved find themselves, right? Acts 2 and verse 47, the Lord adds to the church those who are saved. And so if that's where the saved are, why would those who are saved ever want to go back out where they were lost? It doesn't make sense when we think about it with the cities of refuge. Why would it make sense when we're talking about the church? That doesn't make any sense. Now think about this. What do you suppose the one who has run for security into that city of refuge is in there thinking about? What are they in there thinking about? What thoughts are going through their mind? Do you think that they're sitting in this place of security just thinking about, fretting about all of the loss of their former things that former freedoms that they enjoyed? Are they sitting in here thinking, boy, I had it so good out there? Or do you think they're sitting in the city rejoicing that they're alive? If I'm out there, I'm dead. In here, I'm rejoicing because I get to live. And too many Christians don't see that. They're fretting about what they think they're missing on the outside. Or they're reminiscing about something that they might have enjoyed when they were lost. But you remember what Paul says to these Christians when they were outside of the church. What does he call them? Dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. We need to be reminded that outside of the church, we're dead. We're in our sin. We're lost. And in the church, we can live, and we need to rejoice in the fact that because of Jesus, we live. That's the picture that we need to make sure we get in our minds. Why would we wander back out? You remember in John chapter 15? Jesus gives this great illustration. This is the night before the night he is arrested, the night before he is crucified. And there with his apostles, he's painting this picture in John chapter 15 of him being a vine and them being the branches, the followers of Jesus being the branches. And what does he say ultimately? He says that if you abide in me, you have life. And if you separate yourself from me, well, those branches will be thrown into the fire and burned. In Christ, you have life. As you abide in him, you get to live. Why would you leave him? Why would you go somewhere else? And yet it happens, doesn't it? And isn't it tragic when it does? And what Peter would say happens. Chapter 2, and verse 2 Peter, verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, being safe in the city, in the church, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment that was delivered to them. But it happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. It's the picture that's painted. Safety in the church. Going back out where you can be lost, killed, and taken away. Why would you give that up? Why would you go back into the world? In the city of refuge is safety. So many more things that we could say about this. That map before you has how many cities designated as cities of refuge? There were 6. I would say that one city is not as good as another. One city is not as good as another. You can't run to any city and be safe. You had to run to one of the 6. You couldn't run to one of the other 42 cities of the Levites and find safety. You had to run to only one of the 6 that had been designated as cities of refuge. And yet, what are we told today? Well, one city's as good as another. One church is as good as another. No, the Bible doesn't teach that, does it? They say there's more than one road to the city. No, there's not. There's only one way to get in, and that is to go by the road designated by God. God is merciful. The church is within reach to all, designated by His path, and you're safe so long as you stay. Tonight, do you find yourself in the church? The church that Jesus bought. You know, the church that He said He would build in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Is that the church you find yourself in? Do you find yourself in Christ tonight where there is salvation? Where there is security? Where there is safety? Where God's mercy has been extended tonight? You can be a partaker of His mercy. He has allowed you this opportunity tonight to be right with Him. Will you take advantage of it? Well, tonight, my friend, if you're not a Christian, then you must do that which He has commanded to be done that we've discussed momentarily already. Do you believe tonight Jesus Christ to be the Son of God? Are you willing to confess your faith in Him as the Son of God? To repent of sin in your life? To be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Well, tonight, will you be found in the city, the church that belongs to Christ? Tonight, are you a Christian who has wandered back out? Well, if that's where you find yourself tonight, then you need to ask for God's forgiveness and understand He'll let you back in. That He wants to forgive you. And tonight, His forgiveness is available again. Again, because of the blood of Jesus. If you need to return to Him, tonight you have an opportunity to do that. The Lord's invitation is extended. If you need to come, won't you? All together we stand and sing.